So good morning, family. Merry Christmas to you all. Welcome to West Baptist Community Church. We're a place of shelter, faith, and laughter. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And especially to you who might not normally be here, maybe you've come as family or as friends or been really brave and just walked in off the street, or maybe you're away and you've come back. And I know there's a few of you here, and so special welcome to everybody here. Special welcome. My name's Andrew. I'm the pastor here, and my hope that our time together this morning is going to help us connect with each other and with the world and with God. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. God is always present with us all, and that is very much the case this morning. We are glad you are here. And so don't worry if anyone does a bit of wriggling or makes a bit of noise. That's all part of what this is about. Hey, so this year there's been a lot of changes, hasn't there? Lots of different things have happened. There is a lot of uncertainty in the world and in life. And Christmas reminds us of God's love. Becoming a baby, knowing what it's like to become human. Showing us what true love and true God is like. So this morning we are focusing on how in an uncertain world, Christmas Day reminds us of the certainty of God's love. So let's focus on the certainty of God's love through sharing some words together. So if you'd like to join in, I'll say the first line, the line in white, and then if you'd like to say the line in yellow, which is quite a simple one, so everyone can join in with that. It just says, God's love endures forever. So endures, that's a really awesome word, I think, because it means just go on and on and on. That's what God's love does. So here we go. Give thanks to God for hope. Even when we're in a dark place.
God's love endures forever.
Give thanks to God for peace, even when conflicts surrounds.
God's love endures forever.
Give thanks to God for joy, even when there are more downs than ups. Give thanks to God for love, even when we feel lonely or unloved.
God's love endures forever.
Give thanks to God for the certainty of God's love in the midst of uncertainty.
God's love endures forever.
Give thanks to God for being born a baby, becoming like us, knowing us, loving us. Amen. Amen. Well, in the time of waiting for Jesus' birth...
Andrew,
yeah.
Can we just go back because you just missed a line?
Oh, did I? Oh, I did too. Yeah, we can go back. Why not? Is that the middle one?
Yes.
Oh, thanks. Awesome. Give thanks to God for each other to worship, laugh, and cry with. Yes, it does. Amen. Thank you. So in the time of waiting for Jesus' birthday, we've been lighting a different coloured candle each week, and we're going to light all of them. So, the first week we talk about hope. So we've got a green candle for that. And hope is an interesting thing on Christmas Day, depending on what sort of age and stage you're at. Anyone here hopeful for a restful afternoon? Few people? Oh, I saw some hands shoot up pretty quickly over here. Do you want to come and light our green candle? Oh, awesome. Awesome. You can use the little long, skinny taper candle there. And we'll do that. Actually, we'll light the candles, if you want to just come up, and we'll light them as we're singing the next song. Well, actually, you can light them now. That's fine. That's fine. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. So, second week was peace. Who disturbed the peace the earliest this morning? Your neighbours. Anyone here live next to Grant and Megan? We had a... I'm going to just start the ball rolling. We had an unusually early one. We had 6:15.
Oh, late.
What? Is Mark that excited? Oh, my goodness. 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock. This is craziness. What do we have over there? Any other younger ones? What about you guys? You guys early sleep, early risers? No, pretty good. What about you, mate? What time? 5. Oh, that's... Oh. Okay, we need a 5 o'clocker. Who's roughly around 5 o'clock here? Oh. Barbara. Oh, okay, you better come up and do our next candle, our blue one. Right, okay, here we go. Who is celebrating with someone for joy? Who is celebrating with someone they haven't seen in a long time? Oh, cool. Eleanor, do you want to come up and do the joy candle? Yellow one, yeah. And who's noticed some love somewhere this morning already? Who's noticed some love somewhere? John, did I see your hand go up? You have? Do you want to come do a candle for us? Yeah, nice. Okay, and Ruth, would you like to come and do our banner? We've teed this up. And Parat, would you like to come and light our special candle for the middle, the Christ candle? Thanks, mate. Awesome. We're going to sing a couple of songs. So please stand and we'll join in. O come all you faithful, and then we'll go straight into O Holy Night.
Jesus to thee.
Together. God, you are so good. You know the best ways. And you chose to become human, to become like us. Just as we've been singing, that you are our friend and you know our trials, our weaknesses to you are not strange. We thank you, God, that your name is the only name worthy of praise. And as we have done that this morning, may our hearts be really open to you, maybe in what you want to say to us. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you, God, that you know what it is like to be human and to walk in our shoes. We thank you, God, for your love. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat, everyone. Hey, so each Christmas Day, we take up a special offering for some really special friends that we have that work with Transcend, which is a Kiwi Baptist organisation who work to bring something of God's love to many different local communities in Asia. So we appreciate this is a West thing, so please feel free to pass the offering bag on to the next person if you'd prefer. But if we could pass that around now, team, that would be great. Tato. Loving God, we lift up to you our Transcend friends, their families, their homes, their places of work, their friends, their communities. We think especially of Joe and Charlie, of Ryan and Sophie with Spencer and Emerson, and Paul and Sarah with Michaela and Malachi. God, please restore their souls this Christmas. Please lead them and strengthen them in all they do. May they be reminded afresh of the certainty of your presence with them and your love for them. And as they share their lives today, whether in Aotearoa or Calcutta, may all who are connected with the Loyal Workshop and FreeSet experience something of your grace and love as they perhaps hear for the first time or maybe hear afresh of you, God, loving the world so much that you came to dwell with us. We thank you for all these people. Amen. Well, 2020 might feel a bit like the story that I'm going to read. Parts of this year might feel like we've had things maybe stolen from us, perhaps. Because there's a lot of uncertainty. Things haven't gone the way we've felt, the way that we've wanted, the way that we've expected. But there's a lot of uncertainty, but some things just can't really be taken away. So this story involves people who are called Whos, and they live in Whoville. And I'm going to have a seat. Here we go. You might know this one, I don't know. I hope so, it's real good. Not going to ruin it though. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. "And they're hanging their stockings," he snarled with a sneer. "Tomorrow's Christmas, it's practically here." Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, "I must find a way to stop Christmas from coming." For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. Oh, the noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated. The noise. Noise, noise, noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast. And they'd feast. And they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand and the Whos would start singing. And they'd sing. And they'd sing. And they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, "I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now, I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how?" Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. "I know just what to do." The Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked, "What a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer." The Grinch looked around. But since reindeer were scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said, "If I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead." So he called his dog Max. Then he took some red thread and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackle sleigh and he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, "Giddy up!" And the sleigh started down towards the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark. Quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos who were dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first little house on the square. "This is stop number one," the old Grinchy Claus hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row. "These stockings," he grinned, "are the first things to go." And he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around the whole room, and he took every present. Pop guns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn, and plums. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney. Then he slunk to the fridge. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out that fridge as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. "And now," grinned the Grinch, "I will stuff up the tree." And the Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast and he saw a small Who. Little Cindy Lou Who, who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught out by this tiny Who daughter, who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, "Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?" But you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick, he thought up a lie and he thought it up quick. "Why, my sweet little tot," the faint Santa Claus lied, "there's a light on this tree that won't light up one side, so I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here." And his fib fooled the child. And he patted her head. And he got her a drink and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went up the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was the log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who houses, leaving crumbs much too small for other Who's mouses. It was quarter past dawn, all the Who's still abed, all the Who's still a snooze, when he packed up his sled. Packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags, all the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tiptoe to dump it. "Poo-poo to the Who's," he was grinchously humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo." "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I must simply hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started off low, but then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, and bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so right or tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. Beast. So 2020 might feel as if the Grinch has come and stolen from us. It might have been a school play that you missed out on, or a trip that got cancelled. It might have been your university classes. It might have been your job or income or time with family and friends. There are many things that have been stolen from us this year. But it's also good to acknowledge that there have been some good things too. There may have been enjoyable parts, like spending more time with your family, perhaps, or in your bubble. But there is no doubt that there is a lot of uncertainty, a lot more uncertainty in our lives and around the world this Christmas. What if the Grinch steals Christmas too? So this story by Dr. Seuss tells us that even though the Grinch stole all the fancy parts of Christmas, he couldn't really steal it. The Who's of Whoville knew this, and they kept on singing, and they kept on enjoying being together. And I wonder, what does the Bible say about us, about the meaning of Christmas, that can help us face the Grinch? What can we be certain of that the Grinch can never steal? The Grinch's heart grew, the story says. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. So did you know that the real Christmas story tells us about someone's heart? Luke tells us in his gospel that this person treasured up. They treasured up all the things she saw and experienced and pondered them in her heart. I wonder if you know who that is. It's Mary. She treasured and she pondered. So let's look at the Christmas event and find out more.
This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone, so he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then, after the baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said. A virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before the baby was born. That night, in fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day, in King David's hometown, a Saviour was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying on a bed of hay." suddenly many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay.
And this followed, the next line in the Bible says this, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So all that happened to Mary over the last 9 months, she treasured and pondered. And I wonder what exactly Mary treasured in her heart. Dr. Zeus might say that Mary's heart grew 3 sizes with all the treasures. But this year at Christmas, there are treasures to be stored up. These are the things that are helpful for us to remember. Important things. Things that have happened during the year that have been really great that cannot be stolen by a grumpy COVID Grinch. So I wonder, what are your treasures that you want to remember and that you want to ponder in your heart from this year? So on your way in, would have been given a heart. You might like to pull it out and hold it and think of good things from this year. Doesn't mean to say that it's been a good year, but there'd be good parts to it. These are the things that cannot be stolen away. Well, especially this morning, eh? Yeah. So if you're feeling brave, I just wonder if, you know, if everyone's got like a one-sentence thing of things that you were treasuring from this year. Ezra, you want to come be a runner? Anyone feel really brave? Awesome.
Here we go.
I'm spending more time with my family in lockdown.
Awesome. Cool, man. Okay, thank you. Anyone else got something they really treasure from this year? There's one.
We are so thankful that we live in New Zealand.
Yeah. Israel, there we go, at the back.
I treasure meeting baby Anne.
Oh, yes. Oh, we miss Anne, don't we? Yeah.
This year is my only year at New Zealand.
Oh. Cool. Okay, time for one or two more. Things you've treasured this year that we can hold on to.
More interaction with people in our community.
Oh, lovely. Yay.
As Jacinda said, be kind. I've just been overwhelmed by the kindness of people this year.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of kindness, hasn't there? That's a great thing to treasure. Awesome. Thank you, Ezra. You can come and pop. Can you pop it on that farm music stand and turn it off, please? Okay. An idea you might want to run with is to place that heart somewhere where you'll see it today and maybe this week, and just let it remind us of things that we have treasured in our heart from 2020. Now, I don't think there is much in life we can be certain of, but 2 things I think we can be certain of. One of those certainties is found in the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us, another name for Jesus. We can be certain that God is with us in all the uncertainty of life. And another certainty is that we are deeply loved by God. God became human, a baby, today. Well, a long time ago, but we remember today. We're deeply loved by God, no matter what is happening around us. Romans chapter 8 says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." So this Christmas, we can be certain of God's love, and nothing can take that away. We're going to sing a song and then a few words to say together to finish up at the end. So we're going to sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." So we'll see if we sound like angels. I'll step back from the microphone. Better chance of sounding like angels. Say some special words out loud together as a blessing to each other this Christmas. So what I thought we could do is split up into like A and B, and we can do one side then the other side. So we'll split down here roughly. You can work out what side you want to be in. Okay. So we'll all say the first line, and we'll all say the last couple of lines, and then we'll go A, B, A, B, A, B. You ready? Here we go. How about we stand and say these words together? Because these are awesome words. Here we go. In times of uncertainty, we are convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Great.